Hey, so I just listened to a talk by Jay Rosen, and it was really interesting. Lots of good points. I was glad to hear that he still talks about the view from nowhere, which is a very important concept. He also talked about systems, computer systems, and patches, and how if you make too many patches, it becomes impossible at some point to make any more. And it's a very important idea in software development. It's, what's it called? Some kind of a tax. There's a term for it. I don't remember. But it's very, very observable. And that's why you try to keep things simple so that the changes you make to the software are like evolution, not like, you know, crazy patchworks of Rube Goldberg type situations. I've seen some incredible, egregious stuff in my days. And I call it paying the piper, is that you really want to understand what you're doing before you do it and really debug it before you move on, because, well, you just can't build complex software that way, any other way, actually. So, and then, you know, the subject of business models came up, and he started eliminating them, and it was good to hear somebody do this out loud, because if you look at the landscape, you know, of journalism that we depend on and that we would like to improve, but it's still useful, very often useful. I mean, there was an article in the New Yorker today that really does fit the Save My Life model. It was by Atul Gawande, and it was about what they do in hospitals. Why, you know, how you can defeat the virus by doing a lot of different things. And, you know, it makes so much sense. And I read that article so carefully, word for word, because this is the new life we're learning. And so there is an example of journalism that, man, I should be paying for that article. And I didn't pay for it. And I want to pay for it. But I also want a negotiation on this. And so it was interesting because it's a disconnect. There's this phrase in business called the customer's always right. And it's a very deep statement because it's one of those things that's true from any angle you look at it. And I think people assume that when you have an argument with a customer that you have to let the customer be right, that there's something dishonest about it, maybe even actually, it's, like I said, it's much deeper. And so when a customer says to you over and over, as I have in many times, many ways, is that I want to give you guys money. And I, by the way, this is what a lot of users talk about. I mean, everybody wants this. But I don't want to become a member of every one of these publications. And not only don't I want to, I refuse to, because I understand what happens. I'm not an idiot. It's once they have my credit card, it's going to be very hard to get them to stop billing me for it. It's a scam, and I'm not going there. I want to pay you, but I don't want to be taken advantage of. But in order to hear this, the journalism world would have to listen to its readers. And this just keeps coming up in so many ways. I read a story about Bright, the immunologist who was fired for being an ethical immunologist and refusing to endorse poison. It's like, you know, you wonder about Rand Paul sometimes, because Rand Paul is a medical doctor, and he said some awful things yesterday, or was it the day before? And, you know, you remember that medical doctors take the Hippocratic Oath, says first, do no harm. And here's Rand Paul, from a medical standpoint, objectively doing harm. and doing it on a podium. I mean, doing no harm is an absolute. It doesn't matter more if you do if your harm results in 8 million people dying versus one person dying. But actually, I'm not a medical ethicist. I'm a human ethicist, and to me, it matters a lot. Especially if I die or someone else I know dies or anybody dies that is being treated like, well, believe me, you know, Congress does not run by the ethos of the customer is always right, or at least they don't consider us customers. That's more like it, you know, and the press doesn't either. And that's why the press does not consider me a customer. And as long as that's the case, I mean, I had an experience with a pharmacy a couple of weeks ago. It was a question of why they ordered something for me automatically when I had turned off ordering automatically. It's CVS, and CVS's website is a disaster. I mean, some companies have really good websites where you can find things, and when you do something, it happens, and it happens quickly, and there aren't, you know, a billion different things that go wrong when you try to do a very simple thing that everybody that uses the site has to do. In other words, it's a little bit of user testing would have made them smooth this process out and really test it, but it screwed up. And the website literally told me I had to call the local store. Said, we can't deal with this on the computer. You have to call the store. It's amazing how many times their website does that. And sometimes it's bullshit. Sometimes you actually, if you try another way, you can get it to do what you wanted it to do, you know. But this time I couldn't figure it out. And it was a question of them spending money for me that I did not want spent. And so I called them, and there was a huge wait, like 20 minutes to get through. And they passed me from person to person, and I didn't even know who I was talking to and what I had to explain to them, because maybe it was a different person. And very quickly, someone hung up on me. And so I called back, and they hung up on me again. This is, we're not talking about an hour invested in doing something that I should have been able to do in a second. In fact, I already did it on the computer, just didn't accept it. So this is a case of a company. And of course, let's just say that the people in the store shouldn't be in this position. The company's website should work. It should take care. And, you know, they structure their voicemail, all of them do, to try to direct you to the website. So even when you're calling the store because the website told you to call the store, they're still trying to get you to go to the website. Now, this is the kind of thing computers are really good at if they just had it under control a little bit, you know. Geico, by the way, great website. Totally worth becoming a Geico customer just for the website. I mean, it's a marvel. Whoever does the work on that website knows what they're doing, just like the people who do the ads. Anyway, all the way back to the beginning, these news organizations just simply won't even have a conversation about this. They won't even answer the question, is what it would be so wrong if you let me use another payment system and if it didn't involve me subscribing. Rather, none of you are self-contained anymore. None of you can cover the whole world for me. It used to be, back when I was young, that, you know, maybe this is a world, a lot of people do not remember this world. It goes back to the 1990s for me, maybe even the 1980s, really, is that I used to get two newspapers delivered to my house every day. Actual, literal, physical newspapers would arrive, and I would take them out and I would read them. And the news was not on the internet. There was an internet, but it wasn't anything like the internet is today. And there was no news on the internet. And so I did get all my news from the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. Those were the two publications that I subscribed to. So, yeah, it was reasonable for them to think of the New York Times, especially, much more highly valued to me than the Wall Street Journal was, that they really were providing me with my view of the world in print, on a daily basis. It's no longer anything remotely like that. My news experience is formed by the social networks and by my RSS aggregator. And I get a stream of stories, and I see them from all kinds of publications. And some of them I know in advance are probably worth reading, or certainly worth trying to read, seeing what's going on. A lot of times they take you to these articles and there's nothing in them. I mean, seriously, it's like complete waste of time. Or another waste of time is I click on a link. I don't know what publications it's taking me to, and it uses up one of my free articles for the month for something that, yeah, I wasn't really that interested in. I mean, it's like playing roulette. I think that Twitter should smooth this out and give us some preferences here so that I can say, okay, fine, you know what? I don't like this paywall. I don't ever want to see the paywall again, so don't show me links from this site. Just don't show me the tweets at all. If they link to something on something that I've decided I will not subscribe to, then just don't, you know, the opposite of a paywall, a no thank you wall, if you will. But customers always right is kind of what, it's a radical change for journalism, and they're going to have to do that if they want to survive. And we will pay them, and they will make a lot of money. And then, by the way, they'll have to think about us a little bit more, because they won't have us locked in. This subscription thing is a trap. It's a way for them to ignore us. And I don't want to be ignored anymore, because my role is no longer just as a taxpayer, a voter, a juror. My role as a citizen includes possibly getting infected, being contagious, and becoming a casualty. Those are my new roles. So I don't know why news can't adjust to that, to realize that everybody reading them now is thinking the same things that we have never thought of as one. I mean, as individuals, eventually, we all do think about our own dying. I mean, either you're on your way out, you know, with a fatal disease, or one of your parents is, or a sibling, or a very close friend, or a wife, or, God forbid, a child. So as individuals, we deal with this, right? But this is unique. Every fucking customer of every news organization is going through this at the same time. We are all playing lottery here, and the prize isn't one that any of us want. So there's information out there, and, you know, the information that has the highest value to us is the thing that saves our life. So I think it's good time for news, or at least one news organization, to break out and change the mission from, you know, all the news that's fit to print to, we're going to save your life. Read us, and we might just save your life. Wow. I mean, you could actually say that now. That Atul Gawande piece in New Yorker today, I swear to you, that piece saves lives. It's a wonderful story. There's also one by Mara Gay in the New York Times yesterday that will also save lives. It was a real heart opener and an eye opener. It's rare that you get both at the same time, but boy, does she have a story. I'm telling you. And she changed my perspective on the disease. And you know, sometimes when people change your perspective on a disease, it wakes you the fuck up. And makes you really want to know, how can I minimize the chances that I am in the position that this young woman is in? I don't want to go there. And so I don't care if it's a scandal about what happened with Dr. Bright. What I care about, I don't even care that the Trump administration didn't do anything in January, February, March, or April, because I knew that they weren't doing anything, because I can connect the dots. Journalism never said it, and they should have said it, and should have said it that clearly, you know, that there's a killer out there, and we don't have a defense against it, and we're not trying to have a defense against it. And at the same time, by the way, look at how it's working in other countries, and now you can finally see in a very clear black and white way why our way of doing things in the United States is just lunacy. It's crazy. This country is not run for the people. I mean, the people are, it's not the customer is always right, as I said before. So I think that's the corner we have to turn. And there is no part of our world that doesn't have to turn that corner. And most especially, we, the customers, have to turn that corner. We have to start realizing that what we need is what's right. We should stop arguing about it from the perspective of the politicians and the political parties and who's going to win the election and the blue states and the red states and, you know, whatever. What matters now is maximizing the chances that you do not die this year, that you're not part of that casualty list. You know, if we could get that, just get there. I understand from reading a story in Vanity Fair the other day, a story that I would pay a dollar, $5 for, totally worth it. That if 80% of the people in the United States wore masks, the virus would end. So when they say what we're waiting for is a vaccine, no, we have a much better option right now. Right now. That should be the major headline. That Vanity Fair article is big news. It's something every one of our fellow citizens should see. They will all accept science, by the way. They all will accept science because there's just no other way around out of this box. If we're going to emerge from this, what emerges has accepted science. Now, I just want to add one more thing about news, and I guess what you'd call it is metering. You know, obviously, I'd like to have a choice before I accept that I'm going to pay for this article. I'd like to see a headline and a synopsis and a button that says, I'm going to take this. I want you to make it an impulse decision for me. The kind of impulse decision that I make with DigitalOcean, for example. DigitalOcean is a company that is in the business of leasing virtual servers to people like me. And a virtual server is really just like a laptop that's on a machine that's in the cloud. It means it's in a data center. It's in a room with raised floors and power supplies. It's probably in Finland or something. they probably lease the space from some other, from Amazon or Microsoft or what, you know, whatever. And but they've made it very, and I can run software there. I can run server software there that so that I can have little experiments and try things out and maybe create something that a lot of people like. Because I'm a software developer, and so I like to do it. Well, you know what? They made it really easy. and they must have gone through this in iterative process and realized that the easier we make it, the more people are going to do this. And it's just pure money for them. I mean, the servers cost between $5 a month and however much you want to pay. I mean, you can go crazy in terms of how much you pay. I generally go for the $15 a month server and I just, if I have a good idea, fuck it, I'll do it. Let's go. And the same thing's true, would be true with news if they could just work it out so that the user experience of deciding to read an article is just smooth like that. And I can get to impulse. I could spend a lot of money on news. I mean, I could really see it, you know? But they just make it so damn hard and negative and untrusting and scamming that, I mean, it's just everything that they don't want to be to me. And that's just simply because they never look over here. And they certainly don't listen over from this neck of the woods. And yet, this is where their future is, right here. There's more we can do together, by the way. But this is like, let's begin here. I want to give you money. Can you make it easy? All right. So thanks very much. A lot of things I talked about here. Just about to hit 20 minutes. Talk to you later. Bye.